Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium.
They win the final game 5-2 to remain the baseball champions of the world. The Yankees, with this 9-0 crusher, have won their 17th World Series.
The Yankees again are world champions.
The Yankees win their 21st World Series.
The Yankees are champions of baseball.
Ball game over. World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
The Yankees are back on top. World champions for the 27th time.
Welcome back, Yankee fan. This is the Chase for 28 podcast, episode number 72. My name is Chris, and I am joined again by the podcast Padre, my dad. What's up, Pop?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Things are getting a little stale in Yankee land, but I guess we'll talk about it.
That's true. Should we call this episode Things Are Getting Stale in Yankee Land?
Why not?
All right. So welcome into this episode. As we get into this episode, it's been a couple of weeks since we did an episode. My birthday was last week, and we celebrated the birthday rather than record a podcast episode. So there you go.
It's because you're so special.
I am special. All right, let's dive into our Yankee baseball trivia question from the last episode. Dad, the question was, and this came from Mommy, who is the all-time Yankee leader in hitting for the cycle? We did get a guess. Alex in Central Jersey texted me. He said his guess was either Joe DiMaggio or Mickey Mantle. And his response was, flip a coin. It's got to be one of those two.
Well, I think his coin went down the drain. So,
oh,
actually, Joe DiMaggio did it twice.
Okay.
Mantle did it once. Lou Gehrig did it twice. But the all-time leader is Bob Mujual. He did it three times.
Yes, he did. He did it first on May 7th, 1921. He did it, then did it again on July 3rd, 1922. And then again on July 26th, 1928. And actually, interestingly, I dug into this. Not only is he the all-time Yankee leader in hitting for the cycle at three times, but he is also one of six Major League Baseball players to also do it three times, and that is the most. So he's tied for the lead all time. Five other players have done it three times.
You know, I was looking at his career stats. I think he played 11 years, and you look at his numbers in the 20s with the Yankees, he had some really good numbers. And he ended his career, don't yell at me, with the Cincinnati Reds.
Ah, oh, boy.
They won't go away.
The other players to hit for the cycle three times in Major League Baseball history, I'm going to go backwards from the present. Okay. Christian Yelich has also done it three times.
Okay.
Trey Turner has also done it three times. Adrian Beltre did it three times. A guy named Babe Herman did it three times, and I had to look and see, did they mess this up? It was not Babe Ruth or anybody related to Babe Ruth. Bob Mujual and a guy named John Riley in the late 1800s have all done it three times. So that is your Yankee trivia for last episode. We'll have another question coming up at the end of this episode. Okay. As we get into this, the Yankees, since last we talked about them, they are now currently 20-13. They are in second place in the AL East. They are currently playing the Detroit Tigers in a three-game weekend series. And as we're recording this, they just went down 1-0 in the sixth inning. Stroman was pulled out, walked a bunch of batters, walked in a run. So they are currently losing.
Yep. No offense.
No offense. Since our last episode, they took 2 out of 3 from Tampa Bay. They took 2 out of 4 from Oakland, which was really disappointing and frustrating. They took 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee. And in those games, the offense certainly showed up as they put up 15 runs in each of those wins.
Yeah.
And then 1 out of 4 against the Orioles in a test here to start the season through the defending American League East champions and what many predict to be this year's American League East champions. So disappointing that you split against Oakland and you lose the series to the Orioles.
The first game with Schmidt, that was disappointing. I mean, he allowed the home run to the leadoff batter, and he pitched a great game.
Yeah. But which brings us to our first question. Where's the offense? We know where the beef is. Where's the offense?
Nah. A month ago it was, well, they'll eventually come around. They'll all start hitting. Well, a month has passed and they're well over 100 at bats into the season. Judge isn't hitting. Rizzo had a little bit of a hot streak. Well, he's player of the week a week ago.
But yeah.
That, you know, that was that.
Got his 300th career home run.
Yeah. Torres, he finally hit his first home run of the year, but when he's batting like 220, there's just no offense. Everybody, Volpe's down to 262. Cabrera is, he's still getting some big hits. But
I was
just
say, he hit the home run against the Orioles to give him that 2-0 win in the series finale.
Yeah, but they just, what, there was the one game, what was it? They had 11 hits and no runs.
Yeah, that's very difficult to do.
Yeah, it's very perplexing. I don't know what's wrong. I mean, I think the thing on everybody's mind is everybody starts with what's wrong with Aaron Judge.
Yes.
He just looks totally out of sorts. He's off balance. He's not recognizing pitches. He's just not driving the ball. I saw something where they said, you know, maybe it's because of some change he made to come back last year to help protect his toe, where he changed his swing. Because when he did come back last year, when he got hurt, when he broke the toe, he was batting, I think, over 300. And he ended up the year, I think he batted like 262 for the year. So he didn't come back and drive the ball over. He hit the home runs, but his average went down 50 points. And that just seems to have continued into this year. So I don't know if he's got to go back and look at tapes to see, you know, what he's changed in his swing. So I don't know.
And as we are talking about him, he is up here in the bottom of the sixth inning, 2 outs, nobody on. And he just fouled off a pitch, 0-2. The first pitch was a classic strike called at his shin.
Yeah, he's got to wear those stirrups a little higher. He should wear them like they were Bermuda shorts or something.
Daisy Dukes for Aaron Judge. You're right. The offense isn't clicking. I mean, they get it in spurts. Obviously, you had big games against Milwaukee, putting up runs, hitting home runs. Yeah, that feels good. But then they came back in that first game against Baltimore and got shut out. And I believe they lead the league in being shut out, as they've been shut out 5 or 6 times this season already.
I think it's 5 times, yeah. That's unusual because, you know, I'm used to hearing like, oh, this is the first time they've been shut out since last season.
Yeah, but, and he just struck out looking.
I have the error. I don't know what he's looking at.
Yeah, I got it on my phone. Breaking ball, low and away.
Ugh. I mean, see the ball, hit the ball. I don't know. But it's not just him. One man cannot, you know, like just totally carry the team. Like, I mean, if everybody's hitting, they wouldn't mind him not hitting. I don't know. Does he have
and
to
that
go
was
back
okay to start the season.
Does he have to go back to batting second?
I don't think that's a thing for him.
Yeah. To me, it shouldn't matter where you bat in the lineup. There's a pitcher throwing the ball. You hit the ball. It doesn't matter. Like, you take Volpe now. When he was batting seventh, he was hitting 400. Now he's down to 260. Is he putting pressure on himself that, oh, now I'm batting leadoff and now, oh, I have to get a hit?
I mean, maybe. I mean, these guys are, you hear all the time that these guys are creatures of habit. You know, if the sun's pointing the wrong way 1 degree, they're, you know, not going to get RBIs for a week.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me because, I mean, you only bat leadoff the first time you're up in the game.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Now it's like, oh, I'm right in front of Soto and Judge, so I have to get on, and I'm trying too hard to hit the ball up the middle or the other way.
But you know, that could very well be the case. You know, wanting to, knowing that the job is to be on base, so the guys who mash or should be mashing can do that.
Obviously, he's not at the point in his career yet where he can handle. I'm going to say where he can handle that pressure.
I would agree. I agree.
So maybe it's a case of, I don't know, as we were talking before, maybe you just move him back to where he's comfortable, batting seventh, put Torres back, because as we said, I don't think Torres is long for this team after this year. Or maybe you put Cabrera there or just put somebody else there, put him back to where. I'd rather have a guy who's capable of hitting, forget the two, you know, the 400, that's not going to happen, but if he can be more consistent and get his batting average up near 300 again by batting seventh, then do it. I don't know. And I don't know what's up with Rizzo. I don't know what's up with, maybe I should start picking on my man Stanton again. He struck out twice tonight so far.
Well, the name I wanted to bring up, since we're talking about leadoff stuff, DJ LeMahieu.
Well, it's been a week now that they reported that he hurt his foot again when he went to start playing some minor league games. I haven't heard anything since then of you.
Well, I haven't heard anything. So according to the New York Post, Wednesday of this week, he was shut down for at least another week to receive treatment on his non-displaced foot fracture. Aaron Boone said, while the Yankees veteran infielder has not resumed baseball activities just yet, that could be coming soon. Boone said, not yet, but I know today he came in feeling great. This was back on May 1st. Are we at a week? So I'm sure I'll get on the report here today. Blah, blah, blah. So the manager doesn't know what's going on.
That's right. Yeah.
Not that the Yankees give you much when they talk about the injuries.
Yeah, for all we know, his foot could have been amputated by now.
Who knows? But again, if he's healthy, he certainly can handle the pressure of being a leadoff hitter.
That's just it, though. When he does come back, which LeMahieu are we going to see?
That's true.
I don't think we're going to see LeMahieu batting when he won the top batting title, like 360. I think those days are gone. But for what he had been doing, I mean, we'll take 275.
Yeah. Maybe Cabrera could be good in the leadoff spot.
You never know. I think it's got to do with your disposition. Can you mentally handle it? Just go up and play your game and, you know, do what you normally do. Slash at the ball, hit the ball all over the place. Depends on, like I said, the way you are inside, your inner workings.
Now, bat Soto leadoff and then bat Judge too.
There you go.
Just move everybody up.
Yeah, move everybody up.
I don't know, maybe that could work. Who knows? All right. Pitching. Pitching's doing really well.
Would you have guessed,
or you probably, as most Yankee fans would have, probably thought they would have lost money if you said Cole goes down before the season starts, and what odds would you have gotten that the Yankees would be 20 and 13 at the start of May, basically, with Cole not being in the rotation?
Yeah, no, I don't think a lot of people would have thought that. They would have said, oh, maybe like 500, maybe a little over 500.
I mean, Stroman, until walking the ballpark tonight, was shutout baseball through six and change.
He's pitched a lot of bad luck lately. They haven't been scoring for him. He's only given up like one or two runs. He's never really been bombed in any of his starts.
Well, he's the new Michael King.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, there's always that one pitcher every year who they don't score for.
A couple years ago, it was Paxton. They never scored for. Yeah. He was on the Rangers last year. Now he's on the Diamondbacks. Jordan Montgomery, it felt like they never scored for him.
Yep.
Bullpen is getting the job done. Clay Holmes is a lucky MF-er. I don't think he's given up a run yet this season still.
When they hit the ball, they're putting it in the right spot where they don't score or somebody gets thrown out. Sometimes you got to be lucky.
And yeah.
What is it? There's an old saying, I'd rather be lucky than good.
What are his stats this year?
Mr. Cortez still isn't pitching up to snuff. He'll come up with one good game and then he seems to lose it a little bit.
Yeah.
In the games where I'm watching him pitch, it looks like he's been a little like wild high in the zone. That pitches where he was getting at the top of the zone call, it seems like his pitches are just a little bit higher and he's missing that strike call up near the letters.
Yeah, sometimes I watch him like I watch most pitchers, and I think to myself, bend, bend. When I coach, I would always go out and tell a pitcher, bend, get the pitch down. But on the year, he's 1-0. He's appeared in 15 games. He's got 10 saves in 11 save opportunities. And three runs have been scored while he's on the mound, none of them earned. Yeah, 16 strikeouts.
How many innings has he got?
Clay Holmes has pitched 15 innings.
Oh.
13 hits, 3 runs allowed.
It's too many hits.
For a closer, yeah.
Well, you look at the box. You look at the box score. You see his name. You never see one inning pitch, and you see all zeros and maybe one or two strikeouts. You always see a walk, a hit.
He lives on the edge. Sometimes multiple walks.
Yes.
Yeah, he's walked. He's only walked one batter.
Really?
Yeah. He's hit two guys.
Oh, there you go. I don't want to walk you. I'm going to hit you.
Let's see elsewhere. Luis Gil. He's currently 2-1. He's got an ERA of 3.19, 6 games. He's he just had 2-1.
He had that one bad game against the Brewers, right? And he gave up 5 runs.
Yeah. He leads the team in strikeouts, 40 strikeouts on the year.
Yeah. He pitched a hell of a game in Baltimore the other day.
Yeah. 31 innings pitched, 17 hits. So that's less than a hit per inning. No, a little more than a hit per inning.
Stop trying to do math.
Okay. You do the math. he's given up 12 runs, 11 of them earned. 2 home runs, 20 walks to 40 strikeouts.
Yeah. They said it just before the last start that he was working on things to cut down on the walks. And, I mean, it worked the other night in Baltimore. Let's see if he can maintain it. The only thing I'm fearful for him is, I mean, he basically hasn't pitched for 2 years. So he's going to get to that point during the year where you're going to hear like, okay, he's got a tired arm.
He's going to be fatigued.
Yeah, he's got too many innings, and they're going to have to put him on that. What do they call it? The Phantom DL? So he can,
yeah.
But, I mean, I don't blame him for something like that. He hasn't pitched for 2 years, so you can't expect him to come back and throw 180 innings and be fresh as a daisy.
They're going to manage 1st. His innings. There's certainly some sort of limit involved behind the scenes. And like you said, he's going to be on that Phantom DL stint. And he'll get a couple weeks off, miss 2 or 3 starts, and just to keep him fresh. Yeah. You mentioned Nestor, and he's not – I mean, the numbers tell one story, but obviously watching him pitch, that tells a different story. He's 1-3, 42 innings pitched. He's given up 39 hits, 18 runs, all earned, 7 walks, 37 strikeouts, 5 home runs allowed.
Yeah, too many hits. Yeah, they're just too much. I mean, he says he's not a strikeout pitcher. But you just think back to 2 years ago, it just seemed he had like more control, more confidence in what he was doing on the mound, throwing the ball. I mean, he always moved the ball around, throw it inside, outside, high, low. It's just like he's just not as consistent this year. Each game is like a little different than the last one. He has the good one, then he has a bad one. Or he'll have 5 good innings and then, the bad inning.
Yeah, we need consistency. But again, overall, the pitching has been good.
Yes. I still accept all the pitching. The pitching's been fine. But as we started off, where's the offense?
Although the pitching's not looking good right now. I'm sorry. Hold on. Bases loaded, 2 outs. Veerling's on the mound.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys pitching this year. Like, who are you? Where'd you come from?
Well, I see on social media that it's Brian Cashman's bargain basement bullpen.
But...
How many reclamation projects can you put on the mound?
Well, he's scraping the bottom of the barrel if he comes knocking on your door.
Yeah. I mean, I would do it. Could he throw any slower? Yes, I can.
Yes. You'd be like, what was that baseball movie with the kid with the broken arm that he was throwing the ball hard?
Rookie of the year. That needs to happen to me.
And then all of a sudden his mother told him, throw the floater.
Yes. let's see on the offensive side. Let's see who, pick a stat. Who do you want to see? Who's the leader?
Pick a stat. Who's the leader? Well, who's the home run leader?
Home run leader. Juan Soto with 8.
He's got 8. Really?
Got 8 home runs.
8 home runs. Who's the, doubles leader?
The doubles leader, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Alex Verdugo all have 6 doubles on the year,
but no triples. Anybody hit a triple yet?
We do have triples. Soto has a triple, and Volpe hit a triple the other day.
That's right. See, to me, that was a base. That's a single and an error. When the guy
died. Don't say anything. It's a triple.
I should be the official scorer.
Let's see. Runs scored. Juan Soto, 22 runs scored. Volpe's right behind him with 21. Total hits on the year. Juan Soto leads the way with 41, followed by Volpe with 34, followed by Rizzo with 32. RBIs. Soto, 25. Oswaldo Cabrera, 18. Judge, 18. Rizzo, 16. Stanton, 16. Walks. Juan Soto, 26. Aaron Judge, 25. Strikeouts. Aaron Judge, 41. Stanton, 37. Oh. Torres, 34. Volpe, 33.
I got a headache.
Stolen bases. Volpe leads the way with 7.
Oh, those strikeouts. Put the bat on the ball. Bunt. Do something. Oh, my goodness.
Here's your average. Juan Soto leads the way, 323. Next is Alex Verdugo and Volpe, both hitting 264.
I don't know. Did the pitching just get that good that after 2 years, every batter is crap in the bed?
I mean, you look league-wide. You don't have a lot of guys batting over 300.
This goes back. Okay. Now I go back to the old days. When the mound was higher, offense went out the window. As the 60s went on, I think, what was it, 1960? I may not have the right year, like 1967, something like that. Carl Yastrzemski led the American League in batting, and I think he batted like 301, and that led the league. So they decided the pitches were too dominant, so they lowered the pitching mound.
It went from 15 to 10 inches in 1968.
So the pitchers were not driving down off a hill, you know, the pressure pushing with their legs. So that made the offense come back. So I don't know, maybe they should make the pitchers pitch from a hole. I don't know.
Make them throw uphill.
Make them throw uphill. But, well, that's the other thing that changed. It used to be pitchers pitched. You learned how to change speeds, move the ball in, up, down, left, right, whatever. Now it's, well, just throw as hard as you can. I'm sure way back when there could have been a hell of a lot more people throwing the ball 100 miles an hour. That just wasn't the thing to do back in the day. Now that's the thing to do. You can hit triple digits on that radar gun. Go ahead. You hurt your arm? Tommy John surgery. You'll be back in a year.
Yeah. The game has changed.
Yes. Well, I mean, so much for the not being able to shift and everything, but I don't know, bigger bases. So now I can get there an inch and a half faster than I used to. I don't know.
And you can wear the oven mitt and reach the base a little faster.
Oh, that's ridiculous when I see them put those mitts on. All of a sudden, you look like Lizard Man. All of a sudden, I got these long, gnarly fingers. I can reach out and get the base.
Speaking of that, did you see the replay in Milwaukee? And do you think Judge intentionally swatted at that ball going into second base?
In the replay I saw, I didn't think so.
And in multiple replays I've seen him sliding into second, that's what he does. His arm goes up. So I don't think it was intentional.
You're sliding, so you're what, two feet off the ground?
And he's 6'7".
He's Gigunda, so he's got a big arm. So I don't know.
I agree with the umpires on this one. I don't think it was intentional.
Yeah, I don't think it was. Yeah. Not like way back when. I don't know if you ever saw the from the World Series way back when of Reggie Jackson. The Dodgers were going for a double play, and Jackson was on first, run at the second. And you could actually see, they did it in slow motion. You could actually see Jackson. He watches the guy pivot to second base, and he like swings his hip out, and he actually hits the ball on purpose.
Yes.
Those were the days.
Yeah. All right. Next up on the list, Juan Soto is still a joy to watch play baseball. Thank God for Soto.
Yes. They would not be in second place if it wasn't for that man.
I don't think so.
Not at all.
He's a professional.
I would say they'd be a hell of a lot closer to just being a 500 team, if not maybe below 500 without him.
Oh, for sure. I just need that Soto effect to take effect again.
Yeah, he's doing fine, but eventually, like, come on, give the guy some help. Be on base for him. Now, I mean, if Judge actually started hitting, don't you think Soto would see even better pitches?
Oh, yes. Yes. I was listening to Francesa, and he's repeatedly talked in the last couple of weeks about, you know, making comparisons to, you know, 61 and Marison Mantle, and he threw out some numbers like how many times in that season did they hit back-to-back home runs? How many times did they hit home runs in the same game in the course of that season? And I believe he said that Marison Mantle hit home runs in the same game 14 times that season.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously a small number of that were games where they went back to back.
Yeah.
But he also mentions that. Go ahead.
I was going to say belly to belly.
Yes. No, but he also mentioned that early in the season, it was, what was the batting order? Maris, then Mantle, and then they switched them. And then it went Mantle, then Maris.
Well, sad to say 61 was before I started actually paying attention.
But he's made the point that don't switch the lineup. Keep it as it is. Judge should get going. But, you know, we're a month in. I know the weather hasn't been totally great, but he's got to change his approach. And speaking of approaches, now we get to look at Stanton in the back of the box looking stiff as an iron pipe trying to swing the bat.
It's too cold.
Too cold. Too cold. But again, as we're gapping Yankees, we got man on first, bottom of the seventh, Stanton looking awkward in a 1-1 count.
Yeah, watch out. You might get to see him run again.
Where's he running?
I don't know. Looks like one of those fast-paced walkers.
I'm just hoping if we talk negative about him right now, we can have him hit a home run.
That's right. You're a bum, Stanton! Tear up that contract! He's going to hit a 110 mile an hour ground ball to short and get doubled up.
That's true too.
If he does that now, I'm leaving the broadcast.
All right. I think we've hit all the things we wanted to talk about. We talked about Volpe. We talked about Judge. We mentioned Rizzo.
Mentioned Torres. He's not hitting.
And Stanton strikes out looking, breaking ball at the knees.
Well, there you go.
Backwards K. Rizzo coming up. He's 0-for-2 on the night. You in the future know what happened. We're still optimistic.
Yes, hopefully we're not looking at shutout number 6.
Yeah. All right. Coming up this week for the Yankees, they've got this weekend, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Oh, by the way, may the 4th be with you, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
They've got the Tigers. They're off on Monday, and then they host Houston May 7th, 8th, and 9th. So Houston's been playing a little bit better baseball, still well under 500. It would be nice to smack them around next week. And then the Yankees go to Tampa May 10th, 11th, and 12th. All right. Before we get to the trivia, I got some down on the farm notes for this episode because the minor league season is a month old. So these statements come to us courtesy of Brian Hoke, Yankee beat reporter, MLB.com. At AAA, you got the right-hander, Clayton Beter. He fired 5 2/3 scoreless innings of two-hit baseball on Wednesday at Jacksonville. Beter walked 4 and struck out 9. He is 3-1 on the year with a 2.74 ERA through 5 starts for Triple-A Scranton.
Okay.
At Double-A, Somerset, infielder Ben Callis leads the Patriots in batting average. He's batting .338 with an on-base percentage of .426. He's got 3 homers, 8 doubles, and 2 triples. Callis's 13 extra base hits lead the Eastern League. We can go see him play if we want.
What position does he play?
He's an infielder.
Tell me he's another shortstop.
I don't know. I copied and pasted. And high A Hudson Valley, we got infielder Jared Serna. He hit 3 home runs in a 13-10 win over Wilmington on Wednesday. The infielder drove in 6 runs in the performance in 21 games this season. Serna, his slash line is .231, .351, .474 with 5 home runs and 17 RBIs. And at low A Tampa, shortstop Emmanuel Tejeda has been one of the Tarpons' most consistent offensive performers. He is 28-for-92, batting .304. He's got 3 doubles, a homer, and 14 RBIs through 23 games. Put him in a trade package and let's get something else. Anything stand out to you in the last 2 weeks around Major League Baseball?
Hey, we should have never let Severino go. He almost threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, right? Looks good in a beard, too.
that would have just been getting even. You know, they had Doc Gooden. He did the no-hitter for us, so maybe Severino did it for them. We would have been even.
At least Severino would have went and pitched a legitimate one.
That's right.
Well, you got the Santana one, and they had that combined one.
Yes. And you said, Steve Trout's doing good again. He's back. Trout.
Oh, Mike Trout?
I said Steve. Mike.
Yeah, who the hell's Steve Trout?
His uncle.
His uncle Steve.
Uncle Steve.
Yeah. quick question here, and we're going to certainly talk about this when it comes out, but are you aware of this new documentary that is coming out in May on Peacock about the Yankees?
No.
It is called The Bronx Zoo 90. This is a documentary about the 1990 Yankees.
Yes, no, I did hear about it.
This document, and I've seen the trailer, so it's on Peacock. Michael Kay is in this. Don Mattingly is in this. Brian Cashman is in this. So we got some high-profile Yankee people who sat down to talk about the 1990 Yankees, which, if you haven't seen it, I'll put a link to the trailer in the show notes, which are a swipe or a tap away where you're listening to this. This documentary talks about cougars in the clubhouse, and no, I don't mean older, attractive women. I mean actual rare cougars in the clubhouse. Mel Hall dating a high school student in 1990, for which he's currently in jail, and they interview Mel
she's
Hall.
She's not in high school anymore. It's 20 years later now.
Yeah, but she was 15 in 1990.
Oh,
there's like pictures of him taking her to the prom, and he was on the Yankees.
Well, she couldn't find a date.
I don't know. They interview him in prison.
Wow.
So this is the Bronx Zoo 90.
Oh, my goodness.
So this comes out, I think, the end of May on Peacock. So we will watch this and we will talk about it at the beginning of June.
But it looks really good. Mama Hall must be so proud.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the worst Yankee. And in the trailer, it's like, you know, before the dynasty, and they're showing you like Joe Torre, Buck Showalter's in this too.
Yeah.
Like they got everybody. Like before, I mean, the Yankees were a mess in 1990. You know, they got footage of George and all this. And I think I think another person, and I don't know much about this story, but they got the guy who George Steinbrenner hired to spy on Dave Winfield.
Oh,
he's in this.
His name started with an S. I remember this.
I don't know.
Yes, yes, yes. He went, yes. Steinbrenner hired him to spy on Dave Winfield.
And they got some guy talking about gambling, and he looks like, a little bald white guy, but he's talking about, he's like, I did more for the Yankees without a bat in my hand in 1990 than anybody on the field. And like, he's into like gambling and money and illegal stuff. So this should be exciting. Hope you're excited, Yankee fan. All right. Let's wrap up this episode we got two things. We'll ask the trivia question and then I have some poetry.
Yes. So you want the trivia question now?
Yes. What is our question for this episode?
Okay. Everybody knows that the all-time winningest Yankee pitcher was Whitey Ford, the chairman of the board, 236 wins. And I want to put a little side note in. If Cashman never let Pettit go and Pettit didn't take that year off and then come back, he'd be the all-time winningest Yankee pitcher. So boo Cashman for that. But the question is, who is the all-time Yankee leader in losses for pitching?
So we said all good things about the pitching in this episode, and we want to find out who the worst pitcher of all time is in Yankee history.
No, he wasn't a bad pitcher. I mean, obviously, you got to be around for a while. He just ended up with more losses than anybody else. You got to lose some games. He was an above 500 pitcher. I'll put it to you that way.
All right. Okay. I know who it wasn't. It was not Mariano Rivera. He does not have the most losses in Yankee history.
No, he does not have the most losses. No, he doesn't. We'll give you that one.
There you go.
Alex just crossed it off his list.
Yeah. Just helping you out there, buddy. Okay. So I want to share a poem that I was given. My wife works in a school, and she's got a colleague who's got a daughter who is an adult now. And this young lady, when she was a child, wrote a poem about the Yankees. And I read this, and I thought this was cool, and I got permission to share it here on the show. So I want to share with you all, this poem is titled The Voice of Yankee Stadium, and this was written by Miss Emily Kruger. Here we go. Now batting for the Yankees, number 2, Derek Jeter, number 2. Now that is a true hero. But I do not speak of the man who is spoken of, but rather of the man who speaks. He joined the team alongside Mickey Mantle, but surpassed his term by nearly 40 years. Among a wave of overly enthusiastic announcers, he practiced what he called the 3 C's, clear, concise, correct. And just as the Yankees stayed true to pinstripes, they wore with pride, he stayed true to his style. Dennis Boyd was never oil can, and Jim Hunter was never catfish. The players loved him just as much as he loved the players. His voice forever preserved by the captain himself, but everything good must end. And with his voice absent from the air, within the house he narrated, the walls soon caved in. The man I once admired as the voice of Yankee Stadium is now dead, and the stadium that I once greeted as if I were returning home has vanished. But the voice forever rings in my ears. Now batting for the Yankees, number 2, Derek Jeter, number 2. And I know, when the time has come for me to leave this world, I will be greeted in the next with, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to heaven.
How old was she when she wrote that?
I do not have the answer to that, but according to my wife, again, she was younger, she's an adult now, but this woman, Emily, when she was younger, wrote this poem.
That's a keeper.
Yeah. So let us know what you thought of that, because I know she's interested in some feedback, hearing from Yankee fans. So let us know what you thought of that. Send me a text, email, whatever, and let's send some good words to Emily. Powerful stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So just like you might have opinions about the poem, we want to hear from you about your thoughts on this team. Email us, feedback@chasefor28.com. Connect with us on Twitter. We are at ChaseFor28Pod, and we would love to hear your voicemails. Go to chasefor28.com/voicemail. Let us know your thoughts on the trivia. Let us know your thoughts on the poem. Tell us your thoughts on the team. That's going to do it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to support us, there's a couple ways you could do it. Number one, tell a fellow Yankee fan about the podcast. Word of mouth goes a long way to help us reach new Yankee fans. You can also become a legend. Go to chasefor28.com/legend and consider donating to the show. And if you want to, go to chasefor28.com/merch and get your hands on some of our podcast swag. And one last offer, we are powered by SeatGeek, which is the easiest way to buy tickets for sporting events, concerts, and more. Visit chasefor28.com/SeatGeek and use promo code CHASEFOR28 at checkout to get $20 off your first purchase. Thanks for listening. I'm Chris. Say goodbye, Pop.
Goodbye, Pop. Go offense.